This is Solomon's writing, and of course, the book of Proverbs is one great book, because it's an expose of the mind of Christ that was placed within the heart of Solomon, the man that prayed for wisdom. You know, it's a strange thing. When I started out, I asked for one thing in my life, and that was understanding to be able to guide God's people. That was the prayer that I prayed. Oh, God, give me wisdom that I might be able to understand and guide thy people. I never knew till a number of years later that our brother Oral Roberts, I always thought he had asked for the gift of healing because he had the gift of healing in his life, apparently. But he said the one prayer he had prayed was God to give him wisdom. And then I didn't know till many years later that our brother Branham had prayed one prayer, and that was God, give me wisdom. And it was pleasing to me to know that a man like Solomon, a man like Brother Roberts, and a man like Brother Branham prayed this prayer, and God was pleased to give them understanding to guide the people. Now, you might say, why would you ask for wisdom? Well, Solomon could have asked for riches. He could have asked for most anything that he wanted. Long life, God told him whatever he asked for, he'd give it to him. But he asked for wisdom, and it pleased God, and God gave him the wisdom plus all the rest. And never before was there a man that ever lived like Solomon. And the reason that I would ask for wisdom is because in the 7th verse of the 4th chapter, it said wisdom is the principal thing. All right? Now, what we need is the principal thing. Now, you say, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the Spirit of God. His Word is esteemed above everything because it is God Himself. It is the Word of love and understanding, of power and of wisdom. Now, in other words, over there Moses told him, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get riches. Right over here in the valley of Abel Shittim, he told him this very statement. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth, riches. All right, now then, the Bible said if you exalt wisdom, that it will promote you and bring you to honor. Now, it'll become a crown to your head, a crown of glory. But now I want you to notice here also, it says here in the 18th verse, it's a light that shineth more and more toward the perfect day. There is a perfect day somewhere. There is a perfect day. And that's one thing I want to talk about tonight, is the perfect day. There is a perfect day somewhere. Now, I'd like for you to notice over here, it says in the next verse, in the 12th verse of the 5th chapter, and 11, 12, and thou mournest the land, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ears to them that instructed me. Now, I want you to notice here that there are people who despise instruction. They don't want you to instruct them in nothing. And no matter what you tell them, they've got a better answer than you have. And they've got a better way than you've got. And even though they might lead you to believe that they're listening to you, when you try to instruct them, you can be assured that there's people in the world that no matter what you tell them, they're going to go home and figure that thing out their way, and they're going to go their way because the Bible said that every man's ways is right in his own eyes. And instead of taking the words of the teacher, the Bible says, he will say at last when his flesh is consumed and when things go wrong and when everything begins to get turned upside down, and he'll look back and he'll say, my, I thought I had it figured out right. I thought this was the way it was supposed to go. How did I overlook this? And he'll be so sure that he's got everything right. And then right at the last minute, he'll find out that everything is blown up in his face and gone contrary. And the Bible said that he will mourn at last when his flesh is consumed with sicknesses and with evils, heartaches and sorrows, and his soul goes to sink down into hell. He'll say, how have I hated instruction? And he'll say, why did my heart despise the reproving when somebody tried to tell me the right thing and give me a little reproof? Why did I despise it? Why did I resent it? And then it says here, he'll say, why? Why did I do these things? Why did I not listen to the voice of my teachers, nor incline my ears to them that instructed me? The Bible tells us that God has set in the church a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. And friend, there's one thing that's for sure. If we had the ability to perfect ourselves, then God would never have put a ministry before us. If we ourselves could perfect ourselves, then what good would there be to put a ministry in the church? But the Bible said, till we all come to perfection, the church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, until we all come to the understanding of God and the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. If I can figure it out, Brother Taylor, why should God try to give me instruction? If I can figure it out, why should God send a minister to me? I have to have God to do it. I have to have God to do it. Why do you have to listen to the ministry? Because you can't figure it out. There ain't no way. You're not smart enough. You say, but God will speak to me. That's what Miriam said. That's what Aaron said. That God will speak to me. But the Bible said he sent the minister to perfect the saints. He didn't say, I'll speak to you and perfect you. He said the ministry is to perfect you. And that when I come back, I'm coming back after a church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish, which is a perfect church, glorious and holy in the sight of God. You cannot be perfected in your own self because you're not going to rebuke your own self. You're not going to reprove your own self. You're going to reason with yourself. But brother, when God sends a minister, he's not going to just reason with you. The Bible said, if a brother trespass against you, to rebuke him. And the Bible said, rebuke and exhort and reprove with all longsuffering and all authority. So then when the minister comes, without respect to person, if he's a true minister of God, he's not going to sit down and reason with you unless you've got a reasonable spirit. If you've got an unreasonable spirit, he's going to rebuke you. It doesn't matter what you think about him. It doesn't matter what you say about him. The Bible said, rebuke a wise man and he'll love you. Rebuke a fool and he'll go out here and gossip and backbite and tell everything he can and carry on everything you're doing. Because he's a fool, that's why he does it. But not a wise man. A wise man will think over what you've got to say. He'll consider what you've got to say. But the fool will reject it. And then at the last, when he mourns, he'll say, why? 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 When he picks up his dead loved ones in his arms. And he looks at his wife and she's turned into a whore. And when he's gone out here and got had killed somewhere, he'll say, why did I try to be so smart? Why did I think I was so intelligent and try to figure this thing out for myself instead of letting God lead me and God tell me what I ought to do? Folks, we need the Spirit of God to tell us. We need somebody said, well, I'm willing for God to tell me as long as a man don't tell me. It'll always be a man that tells you. God always works through a man. You show me any place in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation where God didn't work through the man, and I'll tell you I'm a liar. God always works through the man. He set the ministry there. You say, why does he do that? Because he has to do that. Who is God? Who is God? The Bible said you're bone of his bone, you're flesh of his flesh, that you're the image of God. The Bible said you're the image of God. Somebody said he made man in his image. The Bible said more than making man in his image. The Bible said you are the image of God. There is no other image of God. God's the Spirit according to John 4:24. The only image he has is man. And the many members of that body are you. The Bible said you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. You're the temples of God. Jesus is the head of that many membered body. Love one another, Jesus said, as I've loved you. Do unto one another like I've done unto you. And in that day I'll say that I was sick and in prison and you visited me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. Some of us can't even say that tonight. Some of us don't care if the poor starve to death. The Bible said, he that giveth unto the poor, he lendeth unto God, and God is faithful and just, and he will reward him. and he that considereth the cause of the poor. The Bible said he shall dwell in the land, and verily he shall be fed. Somebody said, I'm afraid I won't have nothing for dinner tomorrow. Well, that's because of your unbelief. You ain't living right. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. But when you take the word of God and you have faith, the Bible said if you consider the cause of that poor man out there, if you give something to that poor man, if you help the needy out there, then the Bible said you'll dwell in the land. God will take care of you. Then he'll make all your beds in your time of sickness. He'll take care of you. He'll pay the bills. He'll look after you. Somebody said he won't do it. Don't tell me he won't. He's undone it. He done come too late to tell me. Somebody said he won't do that. But I know he will because he's undone it. Amen. Not one good promise of his, Moses said, has ever failed. Not one good word. Everything he's ever promised me, it's always come to pass. So then, here we find that according to the Bible, that when we refuse instructions, we don't consider the cause of the poor. It's no wonder people die. It's no wonder cancer, TB, paralysis, insanity, all of these things is devouring humanity. It's no wonder our wives are turning into harlots. It's no wonder our daughters are becoming prostitutes. Our sons becoming beatnik, robbers and thieves. No wonder they're doing it. We become selfish and haughty and hateful and want to live to ourselves and have everything to ourselves and let the poor go. I hear ministers, this is something that really gets a hold of me. I hear ministers talking about what God's going to do for me and what God says he's going to do for me and what's in my ministry and where I'm going, what I'm going to do. The Bible said if he testified himself, his witness is not true to begin with. The nature of Christ didn't never testify himself. And he said, I'm going to do this. God said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. All those kind of things. It's wrong. Jesus said, Peter, let me wash your feet, not my feet. Peter, let me bless you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, Jesus said. I will help you wash your feet, prepare a place for you. I come that you might have life abundantly. When we get our minds off of ourselves, don't want something for ourselves, but the Bible said charity seeketh not its own. It seeketh the wealth and blessings and health and hope and desire and kindness of another, not that of our own. Not that of our own. Not charity, and everything will fail but charity. Ain't nothing going to take in but charity. That's why the Bible said get wisdom. It's the chief thing. It's the principal thing. It's God. God is love. God is charity. Wisdom understands. Wisdom is kind. Wisdom is loving. Wisdom is gentle. Wisdom is instructive. Wisdom can help us when nothing else can help us. Wisdom can make us understand. That's right. Now then, if we consider the cause of the poor, we dwell in the land. I got a friend over in North Carolina. He's a man that's a wealthy man. Last time I was around, he had a great big mansion up on the hillside. Had all of these wonderful things that God had blessed him with. I was talking to him and I said, Brother David Allen is his name. I said, David, I said, God sure blesses you. He sat there and I talked to him about God and his eyes just blur with tears. I said, David, God sure has been good to you. He said, yes, he really has. And I began to talk with him, and I find out in a little while that maybe day before yesterday, he slipped out real early and bet the garbage man out there. While the garbage man was taking up the garbage, slipped him a $10 or $20 bill. Found out maybe 10, 20, 100, 500, sometimes as high as $1,000 to Mexico to Brother Al Gonzalez. Somebody else, find somebody that widow or somebody that's poor, he's dwelling in the land. God heals him. God blesses him. God said he shall dwell in the land. When others die, he'll live. And the Bible said, verily he shall be fed. God will feed him. God will take care of him. God will bless him because he's doing the will of God. He that giveth unto the poor. Now, the Bible teaches that there's something even greater than the poor. Greater than the poor. Over there when the woman began to put this on Jesus, and Judas took the old spirit, came against the work of the Lord, and the people of God, he said, why did you take this and give it to the poor? The Bible Bible said he didn't say it because he wanted to give anything to the poor. His deeds that prove what he was. I don't know of no record where he ever gave anything to the poor. But the Bible said for covetousness, it's like people. They say, God, give me a car so I can use it for you, God. But when they get the car, they don't want no part of God's people. They take God's money and they say, oh, honey, we're going to buy this. We're going to get this. We're going to build this. And we're going to have this. And God doesn't mind us using his money because we're going to do it for God. But you wait till they get it and they want no part of God. God's people either. They see spirit of evil. That's why people are dying. That's why people are in the condition they're in. Deceitful workers of iniquity. With their lips they confess me. But the Bible said their heart is far from me. It's desperately wicked above all things. Solomon said, who can know it? Do not diligence to keep it. He said, for out of it come forth the issues of life. Judas didn't care about that. But Jesus, willing to prove his point, not come against him because he taught to take care of the poor. He didn't come against him for that. He had taught him that. But he said, the poor you have with you always. But you don't have the opportunity to do something for God always. He said, she did this for God. And under the Lord she did it. You don't have opportunity to do something for God always. Oh, there is some spiritually poor in the world. The Bible said when you take the naked into your house and clothe them, when you take the poor and the lame out of the street, somebody said, well, I couldn't keep nobody like that at my house. You were sure that you can't because you're too wretched. You couldn't stand it. To know that you had a duty every day of your life to help a blind man or put somebody on a cot. But oh, I thank God there's some evangelists that go out and buy tracts of land, go overseas and get little orphans and bring them back, and the women nurse them, and the evangelist becomes a father to them. Even the man Roy Rogers, I read not too long ago, a movie star. I don't know what he's got with God. Probably ain't got nothing from God. He professes Christianity, him and his wife. But there's one thing he does have, and that's the favor of God in helping the poor. Got an orphan home. Takes his money and goes out and helps little orphans with it. That's something to be considered. God will make him dwell in the land. He's over 60 years old already. Dwell in the land. God will feed him. God will take care of him. Why? Because he's doing what the Lord said do. You know what's the matter with the world? Or not the world, the church. They've fallen in love with the world. They've fallen in love with the world. Samson has played around with Delilah so long till she's cut his locks off. He's lost the glory of God. He's lost the blessings of the Lord. He doesn't love the Word anymore. He doesn't love God's way anymore. He doesn't have the Spirit anymore to move him and cause him to do something for God, to give him a vision. The Bible said over there in the days of Moses, when God called for an offering, he didn't go out and solicit for an offering. He didn't go out and tell this when they had to give an offering. The Bible said, they whose heart stirred them up for the work. This is what we need. Hallelujah. We need somebody that's got a heart that'll stir them up. Glory to God and say, let's go do something for Jesus. Need somebody with a heart on the entire fountain moving. Like one writer said, I purpled in my heart. He said, I wouldn't say anything. He said, but it burned like fire shut up in my bones. When they laid Elisha down the grave, his bones were so mightily anointed that when they come by and throw a dead man, that fire blazed out and the dead man couldn't even stand the grave with his bones. My, here we are alive. And sinners sit in our congregation. People who work in iniquity sit among us. And the Bible said the wicked can't even sit in the congregation of the righteous. In Jesus' meetings they cried out. They stood up, the anointing of God was so mighty, moving. until they cried out. Conviction seized their heart, and they had to go to the altar and do something. Separate themselves from those boys. They couldn't stay with them. But here a dead man had more power than the church has got today. For it's manifesting it. They've fallen in love with the world. Samson had some beautiful locks. The Lord told him, said, don't ever cut them, Samson. That it's a symbol of glory. The seven spirits of God resting upon the church. Beautiful locks, the governor on his shoulders. Yeah, he was a wonderful person. Strong. The Bible said on the way down to Timnath, yeah, to go get his bride or his wife. But from the brush here, here came a lion. And the Bible said when he pounced upon him, Samson reached out with his hand, and the Bible said it rent him just like he would a kid. Just like I take a little old tiny goat. You know how they have them out down in Mexico, little old bitty thing. Even your little Ricky there could just break one of them's neck. The Bible said Samson's strength was so mighty, he caught that big husky lion with the rolling muscles in his body and just ran him just like he would a little old kid. Samson did it. Look at David. Out on the hillside when the anointing was resting on him, a little old shepherd boy couldn't do nothing. The Bible said when the lion came up to get the sheep, David said, I met him face to face. I wonder what we'd do if a lion come up face to face. Said when the bear come up and got that sheep, said, I got him and took him out of his mouth. And when he met the giant over there at Gath, remember we were studying here in the lesson, the Bible said there wasn't but about three places where the giant was left, and Gath was one of them. Here, out of Gath, here come the giant to meet David. You think David run from him? The Bible said, according to what I can gather, David must have skipped like a ram going across the hillside. I believe he did. Saul stood over head and shoulders above the congregation, shaking like this. David, a little old bitty fella, I tell you, courage don't come by size. It comes from God. You hear David, a little old shepherd boy, skipping like a ram. Had a little rock in his sling and twirling around his head. Going across there, his papa said, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, glory to God. And the giant, I imagine by the time he got to that giant was just like this. He probably thought, well, I never seen a fellow like that boy. I never seen anybody with that kind of courage. David is skipping along like a little ram. But after a while, the Bible said they could take one of those slingshots and they could hit it a hair's breadth. A hair's breadth. David knew he wasn't going to miss. Somebody said, well, what are you afraid he might have missed him? He knew he wasn't going to miss. Just think, at a hair's breadth, he could take that slingshot and you could set up a high out there. He could knock it down. He wasn't going to miss. Bigger thing is a giant. He just kicked along there down through the valley and up the hillside, and he met his opponent. He met him with courage. Hallelujah. When cancer comes and TB comes and opposition comes and fear comes, should we shrink away? When the principal says your daughters have got her dressed out like a bunch of harlots, got to wear shorts, you think we ought to shrink away? When the world says you got to take a bow, you think we ought to do it? Daniel didn't change his prayer life. They set up an altar over there and said, Daniel, you're going to have to take a bow. Daniel, when prayer time come, he just went right on a praying. Right on a praying. He got to his window. He looked out that window. You know what he was doing? He was looking toward the Temple of Solomon. God was going to build a temple. Put his name upon it. Every man that looked toward it, God would hear him. Go up there, he wanted to look toward that temple. Praying. They said, Daniel, you can't do it. It's against the law. Daniel didn't pay a bit of attention to that. Brother, let me tell you, I respect the law. The Bible tells us to respect it. But when it comes to God, I defy the law. And God has called the law to give me protection while I was defying it in their very face. You say, I don't believe it. Yes, sir. I've rolled down the streets without a tag. That's right. And you know, you try it up here, just right around here. And God be my witness, he called the police to give me an escort through town for the order of the mayor. And nobody didn't even bother me. There I was violating the law. But I said, Jesus, I can't help it. I'm poor and I ain't got no money. I'd do it in the name of the Lord. And God took care of me. He took care of me. Yes, he did. He took care of me. Down here in one place, running around without a tag, the man stopped me.
And he said, what are you doing? I said, mister, I ain't got no money. I said, I'm a preacher. And I said, I've got to do this. He just tipped his hat back and he stood there and he's like he couldn't figure me out. He said, well, I said, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to let you go. I said, well, look, what about you just giving me a permit to keep driving like this so I can get some money? He looked at me like he thought I was crazy. He said, well, I can't do that. I said, you can't. He said, no. I said, well, I've got to keep going. He said, I don't know what to tell you. And he just left. I went a little further, got over here, and things looked like it was getting better. And here come another fella, and he stopped me. And I stood there, and I done got weary, and I was tired. It was night, and I couldn't get done what I needed. I done got worn out. And here he come along, and he stopped me. And I looked at him. I didn't know what to say. I said, well, it just looks like the devil just asked me every way I turned. And he turned around and looked at me funny like, he said, I'm not the devil. I looked back, I know he's carnal-minded. I looked back at him, he was so bewildered looking at me. I guess it was night, he didn't know what I thought he was. But anyway, he looked at me for a few minutes like he couldn't figure me out. And then he finally just said, I'll go on. So I ain't going to write you no tickets, just go on. So I went on. The Lord took care of me. Finally, I had busted along so long, I don't know how long was a long time, and finally I got the money to go get the tag. Well, when I went down to get the tag, the lady said, of course you haven't driven the car since such and such a time, have you? I said, of course I've driven the car. I said, I had to drive it. And she looked at me like she thought I was crazy. She said, oh, we could never put that down. I said, sure we got to put it down because it's the truth. And she looked at me, she said, but you can do that. So don't you know that'll cost you if you do that? I said, lady, I said, it's worth something to tell the truth. Just put it down. And God took care of that too. Hallelujah. I tell you what, when we love the Lord and we do what the Lord tells us, God will take care of it. David wasn't afraid. Daniel wasn't afraid. When they got the Hebrew children, they said, take a bow. They said, we'll burn before we'll bow. Hallelujah. We'll burn before we'll bow. The trouble is, people have gotten in love with the world. They've gotten in love with the world. Didn't you hear me read it right here? He said, don't mess with a strange woman. Her lips is like honeycombs dropping. Don't mess with her. Said her words are smoother than oil. But said she's like wormwood in the end. Like a sour two-edged sword. And her feet taking hold on hell. And he that messes with her goes down to hell. That's what Samson did. That's what's happened to Brother Robert, a great champion. A great champion. A man that God raised up, a great champion. But he got too familiar with the world. Her lips got to dripping like honeycomb. Our champion. Some of the little ladies with the bob dresses come around, you know. Some of the little ladies with the bob hair come around. And some of the men with money, you know, and prestige. VBs and said, we'll make you Dr. Robert. And they did. Now they've turned his program into a show. You know what they did with Samson? They turned him into a show character. Going to mock him. Make him play for him. Put the jester out there. They turned a bunch of worldly clowns loose with Brother Robert. Got him up there with their little bebop dresses. And he's putting on a show. And the carnal minds mock him. That used to be old Roberts out there. Nothing but a Jack Benny, that's all he is. You tell me they won't say that? Oh, I ain't no more than Jack Benny, that's all he is. But brother, let me tell you something. One day, Samson woke up. That's what they've done over here. To this T.L. Lowry, caused him to get rid of his evangelistic endeavors for God. Got him in the church, and now they're laughing at him. Got him grinding in the mill. That's what happened to a lot of the others. Even Brother Branham, as great as he was, talked him into joining up with them. And he was always sorry of it. I heard him speak about it. Sorry that he ever joined up with the thing. Got him grinding at the mill. Got him grinding at the mill. But I tell you something, one day they're going to break out. Till Osmond, they done got him grinding at the mill. Become a show boy. A great man of God. A mighty warrior. The greatest missionary probably that's ever walked the earth, but they made a playboy out of him. Through films and these other things. But oh, let me tell you something. One day God's going to shake Samson. He's going to catch a hold of him. The church world's coming to their senses. And they're going to realize the world's mocking Pentecost.
We say that we're God's champions, but all we got to do is get us a little nook somewhere, nestled out in the world. And we say that we believe God and that we believe Jesus is coming. You don't expect God to believe you. You don't expect God to believe you. But one day God's going to shake them. Brother Zale, you was with me the other day when we went down the road and talking to a man that seemed to have plenty. As I talked to the preacher, this man got a little closer. And I talked to Brother Thomas, and this man got a little closer. And after a while, I got to talking about too much prosperity, too many things in the world. That man got a little closer. He said, I wonder if a good depression would help us. And I began to point out how that the world has become like the church, and the church has become like the world. How did they build them little homes along beside the world? And how that this one has done got the neighbors this and over here, and this one done got him a television set over here. This one done got him a bottle of booze in here. This one done got to playing golf over here. Done got to associating with the world. And I said, now they done got in the dungeon. He said, that's right. That rung a bell. He had been looking for the way out. He'd been trying to put his finger on what had gone wrong with him. He said, that's the trouble. That's right. That's where we are. I said, that's why the plague is on the people. As long as they stay over there, the plague's going to be on them. Look, how many remember Elijah, a prophet? And then when Naaman come down there with leprosy looking for healing, he had all the world, had everything the world could give, but he had leprosy. Elisha said, I don't want your wealth. I don't want what you got. I don't want the world. Because if I get the world, then I'll have what you got. I don't want it. Come down there stiff and starchy, expecting that man of God to come out there and take a bow to him because he had on some pretty clothes, had a fine chair. Well, Elisha, you're talking about somebody punching somebody's balloon. I hear Brother Taylor talk about sometimes without somebody coming along with a pen punching your balloon. When that fella come down there with all his dignitaries and his royalty, he come out there. Elisha sent a little old servant out there. The servant went out there and said, my master said if you'd go down here and take a bath in that muddy river down there and get rid of some of that starch, and God could do something for you. That's about the way it went. Boy, he bore up and he flew up. He said, don't you know who I am? Oh, yes, he knew who he was. He knew what he was, too. The Bible said you don't have to tell Jesus nothing. He knows what's in a man's heart. So when he come out there, and that little old fella standing there, even little old servant had more sense than Naaman did. The little old servant said to him, said, well, if he'd come out here and he'd put on some vegetable and laid hands on you and, you know, done all these things, said, wouldn't you have believed him? So, well, how much more simple is it for you to go down yonder and take a bath and get cleaned up? I imagine that insulted him, too. By then, he had done really getting hot to know a little old fellow over there was telling him and him a captain of hosts of what to do. He said, one thing about it, Naaman. He said, mister, you got leprosy. You can be holy if you want to. You can get puffed up if you want to. But there's one thing about it. You're going to die and go to hell. You better get down. You better quit flapping your wings and come down to earth. He said, Naaman, you got leprosy. You might feel big, but it won't be long. Boy, and you'll be outside of the society realm. They'll excommunicate you. That's right. That's what they're going to do with that old rabbit, too, watch and see. They just drug him into the cesspool. When he gets real good and filthy, they'll throw him out. That's right. That's what he did to Jonah and throw him overboard. You know that's what they did over there when they finally lifted Ahab. Over in the days of Ahab, when they lifted Naboth up and wanted his vineyard, what did they do? Now, you can't have my vineyard. Jezebel's got everything else. Everything she can get, she's got her hands on it. You know that. She got the church, she got the government, got everything. Old Mother Holler, the Catholic Church, she's contaminated everything. That's right. Now, Jezebel said, don't worry, Ahab. That's just one little old vineyard. I'll get it for you. If you couldn't get it one way, she said, I'll get another. So she goes over and she begins to tell him what big muscles he's got, you know. I mean, that's the essence of it, you know. My, what a man, neighbor. What a man. Jezebel with her powdering paint. The honeycomb. The strange woman's lip. She flexed herself about, you know, and she caught Naboth. She got his attention. Naboth, you're just what we need for a speaker. Got him down there. Brother Robert, boy,
glory, what wisdom you got. All we need is somebody like you to really lead us on to victory. And the Bible said they set Naboth up on high. And I'll give him a television program. There wasn't no television program in that day. But it would have been the same thing. We'll give you a television program. You're a man of renown. Jezebel said when he gets up there where he becomes a great figure, then we'll get a shot at him. We'll go against him. We'll say you done something contrary to the government. That's the way they shoot at those boys. Yeah, and then the Bible said when they got Naboth up there, they accused him of blasphemy. What was it they killed him to take his vineyard? That's what it was for. Kill him. Take his vineyard. This little Pentecostal vineyard, she can't get her hands on it. She thought through getting old Robert, she'd get her hands on it, but she ain't got it. She ain't got it. I know she's got the Pentecostal shuck, but that's all she's got. The grain fell out of it when she grabbed it. That's right. That church of Mary, you know what happened when Mary run over to Jesus? Oh, she run over to Jesus, and I know she wanted to see him. Run over to her son, he said, nay, no, I'm not your son. Oh, no, I'm not your son. That little fellow you curled in rock back there, that was your son. But this is the resurrected Son of God. He don't belong to the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church gave birth to something back yonder, that thing they worship. And everything it gave birth to Martin Luther and him back there. But this is the glorified Son of God, the elect, the body of Christ. She can run to the tomb if you want to, but it don't belong to her. They lifted him up, that honeycomb. You know, I'm going to close in a few minutes, but I'm made to think about Jehu. Over there when the Lord reached down, he got that prophet and took him home to glory in him. Told him, said, Jehu, said, you go over yonder. Said, we're going to make a king out of you. Jehu, he come over there. Jezebel, she got out on the veranda. Now, if you climbed out the window or got out the door there somehow, and she stood on the veranda. And Jehu rode in with his chariot. And she was probably up there painting her lips, you know. Curling her hair. You know how one does. Painting her lips, and you know how they do with their dress, you know. And she painted her lips and curled her hair and whatever she was doing. Coming in. Jehu, he rode in, and she caught his attention. Everybody come on. She caught his attention. But brother, when she ran up against Jehu, she hit the wrong fella. She run out there and she wiggled her body around a few times like some of these women preachers we've got to do. But she didn't oversaw the ministry of Jehu. She ran out there and shook herself before him. He looked over and he said, you eunuchs over there, said, you don't have no desire for women anyway. Said, you made for that purpose. Said, what do you want to know about it? Said, if you're with me, fall down. The Bible said he rode over and grabbed her and threw her off the veranda. She hit the ground and the blood spattered. Called the prophet prophesied. Elijah said, thus saith the Lord, the dogs shall eat her and she shall become dung upon the face of the earth. Who is a dog but the Gentiles? Who's eating up the Catholic Church? What is dung but knowledge? Paul said, all of my learning's dung. The Catholic Church has become an intellectual, dear people, dung upon the face of the earth. That's all she is, a dog to lead her up. That was the prophecy of Elijah the prophet. It came to pass. Brother Robert's got too familiar with the world. That's what happened to the others. But you know what? One of these days, Brother Roberts is going to be sitting around somewhere. Think about Brother A. Allen, probably died without ever being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, how sad. Oh, how sad when he meets God. A man that knew the Bible. Fasted the way he did. Sometimes they say he fasted 30 days out of every year and rolled around. Said to have to change his wardrobe 3 times a year because his body went up and down so much with fasting. A man that fasted but died without being baptized in the name of Jesus, what will he do when he meets God? What will he do? And there's Brother Roberts and him and these others. What will he do? What will he do? One day, they'll get to spinning around if God spares them long enough, and he'll spare some of them. And they'll get to thinking. They'll get to thinking. And God will speak to their heart, and he'll take the blindness away from them. Remember, they put out Samson's eye. And he'll put a little spark of understanding in their mind. And those great warriors will begin to think, here I am, I'm getting old. My big timer. I got television programs, I got everything, and people are watching me. But, oh, I don't feel like I used to feel. I don't feel like I used to feel. feel condemnation. I feel something closing on me, something smothering my life out. Hell, begin to shake yourself and talk with God. When he does his heart begin to go out, he'll begin to feel something that he hadn't felt for a long time. Then his soul returns to him in the sense of his understanding. And he'll say, my God, what have I done? What have I done? And then when he begins to get bitter down here, he begins to think of how that they cheated him, how they mocked him, and what they've done to him. They'll kick him out after a while. They'll kick him out after a while. After a while, when he gets stirred up, he'll begin to say, I'm the one that helped build this thing. I'm the one that set it in motion. I'm the one. He was the one that helped get the full gospel businessmen started. The better one to show me one of the greatest instruments that Satan uses for the Catholic Church. I'm the one. I know where the pillars are. I can just get my hands on them. That's right. Shekinah's a pillar in that thing. How many of you know that? I know the pillars. I know where they are. He'll reach out to take hold of them. And he'll begin to shake them. And brother, let me tell you something. When old Robert comes to his senses, or some of these great men that they've got bound in those chambers, you better believe there's some pillars in there that's going to listen to them. They're going to say, now, wait a minute. If this man has seen all that we've seen and still feels this way, there must be destruction coming from somewhere. They'll drop that thing like a hotcake. They tell me that when Jack Cole died, some of these men had had these Cadillacs, these evangelists, had these big fine homes and Cadillacs, they begin to sell them galore to get rid of them. They thought the end of the world had not come. Old Jack was going down, they figured if he's going down, ain't no telling what's going to happen to me. What is it? Playing around with a strange woman with the lips like honeycomb. Wisdom is the principal thing. It shines into the perfect day, and there is a perfect day that's called the millennium, and it's coming. There is a day that's perfect. This is an unperfect day. But there is a perfect day for a perfect man. And we're going to enjoy a perfect liberty in God. Hallelujah. A perfect life, a perfect health. We're going to enjoy a perfect presence of God, a perfectness from fear and from worry and from poverty. A perfect day. Hallelujah.